By all appearances, former NBC News anchor Tom Brokaw had things pretty good. Even he refers to his life and professional success as a lucky life. But then 3 years ago, back pain sent him to the doctor and tests revealed a rare blood cancer. The story unfolds in Tom Brokaw's book, A Lucky Life Interrupted, now out in paperback. Tom Brokaw, of course, many years as the anchor and managing editor of NBC Nightly News. He retired from full-time work after the presidential election in 2004. He still does appear in NBC News from time to time as a special correspondent and works on documentaries for other news outlets. He's also the author of 6 other books, including The Greatest Generation. Almost no introduction needed, but there it is. Tom Brokaw, thanks for joining us. And Tom Brokaw got off the line. So we will reestablish contact with Tom Brokaw and try to get him back on the air. The issue here is that he was feeling some back pain in 2013, and it looks like we have him on a different line. Tom Brokaw, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, good to have you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Well, I'd rather be talking about something other than my own cancer, but and the fact is it's been an instructive experience, not just for me personally, but it's taken me into a world that I was kind of looking into over the rim before, but now what I've learned is that if you get cancer, you're part of a club that you didn't volunteer to join. And the difference between having cancer and just knowing someone who has cancer is really profoundly different. Until you get it, you can't have a full appreciation of the kind of way it takes over your life, literally.
It's not like you started binge-watching TV upon retirement. How active were you?
Well, you know, it's what happened to me is that I had kind of more than an active life. I've been all over the world and covering wars and upheavals and bicycling across South America and New Zealand and South Africa, climbing peaks, fishing, and I thought I was indestructible. And then in the summer of 2013, I developed a lower backache, and I really thought it was because of lifestyle. And through the summer, I suffered through all of that, even though I was still going on television doing a lot of things. And finally, at the Mayo Clinic, my very smart internist went to work on it. The orthopedist all thought it was lifestyle. He said, I think it's something more. And he came up with this diagnosis, and they brought in a chief oncologist who looked at all the numbers, turned to me and said, you've got malignancy. It's called multiple myeloma. You know people who have died from this. That was his next line. Turned out Geraldine Ferraro died from it. Frank Reynolds, his death had always been kind of a mystery to a lot of us. He had died from it. And then we had this very candid conversation back and forth, and I was very quickly operating in 2 spheres of my life. I'd just been diagnosed with an incurable cancer, but at the same time, I had a documentary on the 50th anniversary of John F. Kennedy to finish, and I was working on the script while I was in Rochester at the Mayo Clinic meeting. So my world changed at that moment.
Tom Brokaw, in a life full of notable events, could anything have prepared you for hearing that phrase, you have a malignancy?
Did anything what?
Could anything have prepared you for hearing that phrase?
No, I don't think so. I think that all of us go through life, that no matter where we are, that death, for the most part, is kind of a distant abstract. And in this case, in my case, I really never had anything go wrong. I had a wonderful personal life, married to an amazing woman for more than 50 years, wonderful children. My career had gone exactly in the direction that anyone could hope for it to go. So I was blindsided by all of this. And then I had to quickly adjust to this new reality. And I was helped profoundly by my family. My wife stepped right in and became kind of my nurse ratchet, as I called her, because she was tough as hell on me. You know, you're not going to try to do that, Tom. You're in a different world now. She memorized the whole prescription protocol every day. And I have our eldest daughter is a take-no-prisoners ER physician. She flew to my side and was consulting with the doctors and then became what I called my ombudsman. Whenever I'd have a question, she'd help me frame it the right way. And then she would also have a separate relationship with my physicians. When I would say pain was 4 on a scale of 10, she'd stand behind me and hold up 6 fingers or 7 fingers and say, no, he's hurting more than he tells you. And it became an important part of my team. So I now tell people who get diagnosed with cancer, you must have a friend who's a doctor, not necessarily a cancer specialist, but make him, that man or that woman, your friend, your advocate. They'll tell you the questions to ask. They'll see the latest research. They'll interpret what you're being told. And I've gotten an enormous amount of feedback from other patients saying, my God, that's exactly what I needed.
Hmm. Tom Brokaw is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. His book about being diagnosed with cancer and going through the treatment for it is called A Lucky Life Interrupted, just out in paperback. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Step back to the diagnosis. I mean, obviously, you got it alone first. And it seems often that telling somebody else bad news makes it that much realer. I mean, was it like that when you told Meredith?
Well, I waited for 24 hours. I was in Rochester, and I didn't want to tell her over the phone. I had a board meeting that I had to get through the next day, and I was helped, frankly, by my training as a journalist. You know, I've seen a lot of tough stuff in my lifetime, and I'm by now accustomed to dealing with tough news. So I want to make sure that I had everything in order before I flew back out to Montana to our ranch. She met me at midnight. We drove through this crooked gravel road and talked about a lot of other stuff. Got to the ranch house now about 1, and I made a stiff drink, sat on the edge of the bed, and said to her, I have some news I didn't tell you. I've been diagnosed with cancer. It's called multiple myeloma, and I'm not quite sure where it's going to take me. They say that they're pretty sure that I can beat it, but it'll never go away because it's incurable in the long run. I don't know what we're in for here. Meredith has this famous reputation for having a steely look. She gave me that steely look and asked a couple of very smart questions. And I said, honey, tomorrow morning we're going to have to figure out what our new life is. The next morning, you know, dumbly, I got up and I felt better. So I packed an ice bag in the back of my car and I drove 100 miles to go fishing with some friends. That was the dumbest thing I could possibly have done. 2 days later, I was being medevaced to Rochester with excruciating back pain.
Wow. You write of opening the Brokaw Pharmacy. How varied were its wares, or are its wares, I guess?
Well, what I really needed was somebody to help me keep track of everything, and that's what Meredith memorized it right away. But as we speak, I'm on chemotherapy. I take a pill every day, and I will for as long as I live. It's a lower dosage than I was taking during treatment, but it's the maintenance pill. And then several other pills. I think that last count, combination of pain relief, chemo treatment, and the attendant other issues, I'm taking 18 pills a day. That is completely contrary to what my earlier life had been. A baby aspirin, maybe. Uh-huh. And that was about it.
And no vitamins and no supplements?
No, I really didn't take vitamins or supplements because, you know, in all my physicals, I was knocking it out of the park, and I didn't feel the need to do that. And now I do take, there are some supplements that are part of this that I have to take because cancer attacks not just a specific part of your body, but your whole being in a way responds to it because the body is being enlisted to fight cancer. And as every physician will tell you, that modern medicine has no more inscrutable, immutable enemy than cancer, which effectively declares a war on your body.
You give us a few details in the book, Tom, about the robust health insurance you were still getting from General Electric. How much did this whole process get you thinking about health care reform, especially in the context of Obamacare coming online just a few months after your diagnosis?
Well, I've been thinking about health care for a long time. We have 8 physicians in our family. I've written 3 documentaries on health care in America. It is a huge issue that it should be more than a political football. None of these candidates now who are running for office who are going to bring down affordable care as the Obamacare. When my first day in office, I'm going to repeal that. But they don't have another plan. It's 18.5% of our GDP. Everybody in America is terrified that they're going to get struck by some very costly illness. One of the things I thought about was that, look, I'm in a position. I've got a great company health care plan. I also have, because of the nature of the work that I do and my compensation, I've got resources. I can pick up the phone. But I began to think about an imaginary figure. I grew up in the Midwest, and I thought, what about a guy who lives outside of Wichita, went to a community college, worked in a gas station, and then he got his own gas station. Maybe he got 2 of them in a convenience store, maybe 2 convenience stores. Now he's living the American dream, making $250,000 a year. He gets hit with what I've got. He has his own health care plan. It won't begin to cover the cost of this thing. I was taking 2 pills a day during treatment that cost $1,000, $500 a piece. and then a lot of other pills. And so that's the issue that we have to deal with in America, is how we're going to even out the cost of all of this so it will be affordable for everyone. Now, there are a lot of different ways you can do that. Most hospital systems have foundations in which they can offer supplementary financial help, that kind of thing. It is a complex issue, and you can't just make it part of the campaign jargon. It's going to take something much more than that, and the time has come.
Yeah, more than just repeal and replace, right? More than just those three words. Tom Brokaw's book is called A Lucky Life Interrupted, now out in paperback. How do you feel? It's in remission officially, right?
Well, right now, I'm coming off about a four-day siege with a pretty severe bronchitis. I went fishing down in Belize, which was pretty exhausting, and then I came right back and I did a veterans event on a rainy, cold Saturday in Virginia called Healing Waters, so teaching wounded veterans how to fly fish and using fly fishing as a kind of restorative sidebar to your life, and it's been very successful. Came home, and because of the nature of the way cancer attacks your body, my resistance was down. I got bronchitis, and I had more than a head cold. I had a cough and a lot of other things, and you have to really be on guard against that because it can lead to something far more consequential. So for the last, since last Thursday, I've been attacking it with antibiotics and with cough medicine and that kind of thing, and just today I'm coming out of it, but I'm still working my way through it.
But the effects of the myeloma at this point just aren't really there or just aren't felt?
Well, it's mostly that any cancer and then the treatment for cancer, your whole body gets involved and you're taking all these pills. I used to be able to bike 60, 75 miles a day. Now I'm happy to be back up to biking 12 to 15 miles a day to try to get fit again. And that's what I don't think anyone fully appreciates. I lost a wonderful young friend who was not yet 50, had a far more severe form of cancer than I did, gastric cancer. And we talked almost every day. We were going through it at the same time. And he said, no one fully appreciates that when you have cancer, every waking part of your body is affected by it. You know, you're exhausted. You need to take a nap. It's on your mind. So it's a constant companion and not entirely welcome.
You write about Nixon as president declaring war on cancer in 1971, and I'm reminded about the very recent discussion of Joe Biden leading the moonshot on cancer. Do you have any more faith in that than
Nixon? I do, man. I do, and here's why. There's been a big turn in cancer, and it's monoclonal therapy in which they take cells from your own body, re-engineering them, reinsert them. There was just a case in Pennsylvania where they're doing some cutting-edge work with a woman who had my kind of cancer, and she was going down. She wasn't going to make it. And they said, we have a plan. See what you think. And they extracted white blood cells from her body, re-engineered them, sent them back into her system, and they became cancer killer cells. And she's cancer-free. At the Mayo Clinic, they had a woman, same condition, going to die. They said, we want to try one experiment with a megadose of a measles vaccine, which comes from your body. 10,000 times the normal dose, one shot. And it worked 24 hours after having hallucinations and all kinds of other sidebar issues where she overheated and she was trembling. She walked out of there cancer-free and still is 4 years later. Now, it doesn't work for everyone, and these are really one-shot experiments. They're not even clinical trials. But each of them tells us about how you can use the body to defend the body. And that's where the hope is.
Tom, a final question here. Given the events of this year politically, do you wish you could still preside over election night coverage in November?
Well, what I've been doing is doing essays and kind of giving long-term perspective, long-form perspective. If I was in Iowa, I was in New Hampshire. I was on Morning Joe this morning talking about it. I was on Morning Joe last week. I have a radio commentary that I do for iHeartRadio. So I'm still in it and paying a lot of attention to it. I have an open invitation to be on Meet the Press. I've been on with Chuck Todd several times. So I'll still be in it. I won't be sitting at the desk. That's now Lester Holt's job, and I'm going to help him however I can. I could not be more proud of the success that he's having. He's just a first-rate guy and a first-rate journalist, and we've got an astonishingly good team this year at NBC. almost all of them women, by the way, who are out there on the trail, and they're knocking it out of the park. So I'm really proud. I'm going to help however I can.
Okay, Tom Brokaw, pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
My pleasure. Right. Thank you.